Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Today we will be discussing how we, adult children of alcoholics and wounded adult children of dysfunctional homes, may be examples of the law of attraction in action. What I mean by that is, if it is true, and science today is proving it more and more each day, that thoughts create things and that thoughts are in fact electrically charged and thus carry either negative, positive, or neutral vibrations, and if this is an attraction-based universe, that can it be that we unaware adult children may simply be attracting what we know? Can it be that we marry alcoholics, become alcoholics, and or attract alcoholic types of personalities into our adult lives because this is all we know, because this is what our emotional vibrational set point or frequency is? If this is an attraction-based universe, and if our adult lives are mirrors to our childhood experiences, and even though we consciously hear ourselves thinking, how can this be? I hated my alcoholic father. I swore I would never be an enabler like my mother. How can this be that as an adult I married an alcoholic, that my best friend is an alcoholic, and I am an enabler? What's going on? I mean, really, what is really going on when an individual who, let's say, was physically abused as a child, who swears they'd never abuse their own children one day, who, when he or she becomes a parent, does in fact abuse their child, what's going on? To break it down, we must understand how the brain works. From the time we are born, we are in a state of learning. Our brains are nothing more than computer software that is being programmed rules about its environment. From 12 years old and on, human beings, although we are still learning, we are beginning to act upon what we have learned. As the being progresses in years, he or she continues to act upon the belief systems that were created from infancy on. If infancy and toddler needs were not met, the being grows feeling unworthy, and the key is the feeling or the emotion. This negatively charged emotion is like an infestation of bees and roots itself deep within the child's psyche. Because feeling seen and feeling validated is essential to a being's sense of self, if the being grows and continues to seek that validation it never receives from his or her caretakers, that being continues to attract situations, circumstances, and people that will reinforce that feeling of being unseen. As adults, these wounds, which carry negative charges, become like emotional radio tower transmitters. And without us realizing it, we attract equally charged, wounded others into our experiences. As a result, we end up in relationships that only compound our own negativity and sadly presume the other person in our life or the other people in our lives or the situations or our job experience are the reasons we're miserable. We're unaware. And unaware, we may end that relationship or that job or that situation to only discover that in a year or two, we are in a similar situation or relationship with someone like one of our parents, our siblings, or one of our prior partners, only they arrived in a different looking package. It's interesting. The Bible says, as it is in heaven, so shall it be on earth. And my interpretation of that is simple. What I think that means is, how a man thinks in his mind, which is his brain, or heaven, let's say, so shall the man become on earth in the physical realm. If we unconsciously believe we are unworthy, that is a feeling that exists in a non-physical, or let's say an ethereal realm. And if this is so, we can only realistically expect to attract the situation and or others that can only mirror back our unconscious feelings of unworthiness. Carl Jung states that man's task in life is to become conscious of the contents that press upward from the unconscious. Jung also states that until you make the unconscious conscious, it will direct your life and you will call it fate. If we dissect what Carl Jung is saying, he suggests that we are unconsciously predicting our fate, that our unconscious predicts our fate, not what we think consciously. So now what? How many of you question the way you think? I mean, really think about the way you think and deeper question whether or not the way you think is appropriate or beneficial or healthy. How many of you know others who deliberately question what they think? In most cases, we wounded children from dysfunctional homes are so busy deflecting all the negativity and criticism and judgment of others in our lives that we are overwhelmed. And we're struggling to survive the depression these emotional dynamics create within our beings. Deeper, we are unaware of how loop-like our negative self-talk can be, and we do not understand consciously or intellectually how our very thinking is causing us to continually stay stuck, repeating the same old story. So, how do we fix this? And deeper, what is it that needs to be fixed? Some practical tools that you can use to help you heal are simple and they're free. Like I've said in prior radio shows, meditation, meditation, meditation. It is so critical that in order to heal something, you be able to see it. You be able to digest it. You be able to dissect it. But if in your day-to-day routine, you're so busy deflecting emotional pain and at the same time you're recreating situations that just bring you additional pain, you know, when you're in that state of being, it's really hard to think about the way that you think because the negativity is constant. It's an onslaught. It's like a mudslide. And it's impossible sometimes to catch ourselves, you know, when our emotions have gotten that far. And momentum is a factor. The longer we stayed in an anxiety-filled state, the more negativity and the more of a serious charge is going to come within our being. And it's going to be a lot harder to stop that snowball when it's huge than it would have been if we stopped the snowball when it was small. What I mean by that is if we think about snowballs as our thought process and our anxiety, if we learn to still our mind, we literally can transform the snowballs that are in our mind, that the huge, momentum-filled balls of anxiety that tend to take over in our minds when least expect it. If we begin to be mindful, then we begin to slow down the momentum of our anxiety and our panic. And so in that state, in a much more relaxed state, we're able to process what we think. So I also, the meditation is crucial, and I think that it's important that we, as adult, wounded adult children, because we're in such a negative loop, we're in such a negative pattern, and we don't really realize how we are dictating our circumstances and how we continually, unconsciously attract even more negative situations and people into our experiences. So until we learn to get really still and learn to be okay with being alone and practice meditation, you know, our lives are going to go on in this loop-like pattern. So I think starting what I did during my recovery process and what I suggest that all my clients do is begin their day with the intent to be calm. So you begin your day, if that means getting up early, that means getting up early. That means stop making excuses for why you can't get up early and why you can't calm your mind. You know, it's so interesting to me. I have clients who come to me and they say, I'm so tired today. I said, what time did you go to bed? Oh, about 11. Well, what did you do until 11? Oh, all my shows are on. And I think to myself, not in a judgmental way, but it's as an observer, that this person before me finds the time to stay up until 11 o'clock to watch some show that benefits them in no way and prefers to do that than wake up an hour early, let's say, to meditate or to journal, and then at nighttime go to bed an hour early to make up for that time difference. So there really are no excuses. There's nothing that you can't do in this life if you put your needs into action. But first you have to act upon it. You have to have the intent and then you have to act upon it. So certainly getting up each day to begin your day, controlling your emotional offering, getting into a meditative state, calming your mind. And then the next thing that you want to do after you meditate for 15 or 20 minutes, you know, with mindfulness, and there are so many amazing free YouTube videos that someone can go and tap into and use at their convenience. So there really is no excuse not to meditate or start a day off like that. The second thing, that a very practical tool and it's free, is to journal. You don't journal only about your day, but you journal about the things that created your behavior for that day. For instance, if you're feeling overwhelmed, journal about that feeling. Note and appreciate that that feeling carries a negative charge. And then intellectually understand that what you feel, you're going to attract. So if you're feeling overwhelmed, the only thing that you attract, it can attract, is more situations, more conversations, more news shows on television that are going to make you feel more overwhelmed. That's why it's so important to start your day in a much higher place, in a much, you know, safer place, in a much more peaceful place. What you do with your journaling is then you backtrack through self-analysis. You ask yourself why you feel overwhelmed. Did you say yes when you meant to say no to someone? Did you really want to not go, you know, to that movie that evening, but instead you said yes because you were worried about hurting someone else's feelings? Did you take on another project that maybe you should have passed on to another associate? Are you afraid of what your boss thought, and that's why you're being overwhelmed and taking on so much? So much of healing for wounded children is understanding that so often we seek validation from outside of ourselves. And because we're chasing our tails, we get overwhelmed, and then we get stuck in feeling overwhelmed. And the goal is to, A, meditate, slow the thought process down so that we can start our day in a much happier, you know, more peaceful vibration. And so then as we walk out into the day, we will attract more peaceful things. We will notice more peaceful things. People will say hello to us that may not have said hello to us the morning before, because we're setting our emotional attunement. We're taking control over our emotional offering for the day. So you definitely want to meditate and get yourself in a more peaceful place so that you can attract more peaceful situations. And then you want to journal and you want to explore the way you feel. And then, so if you end up feeling overwhelmed, you understand intellectually that's a negative charged emotion. From that standpoint, from that emotional standpoint, I can only attract more things to make me feel overwhelmed. So I need to change my offering. So we do that by looking at it, learning to observe the way we feel rather than reacting to the way we feel. And this happens day by day and through practice, practice, practice. Your goal as a wounded child is to heal the unconscious mind. And the only way to do that is to do it through the conscious experience. You can also use subliminal tapes, which will directly impact your subconscious mind. You know, there are great brain syncing technologies available today on YouTube. Again, free, and you're able to fall asleep with this type of technology. Kelly Howell is great. She has free brain sync meditations available on YouTube that I definitely think you should take advantage of. But at the same time, during the day, the goal is to become more conscious of our unconscious belief systems. So that's all I have for today. I would really like you listeners to get a hold of that, meditate upon it, listen to this broadcast over and over and over so that you understand that you do hold within you the power to change. Everything you need to change is held within you. Thank you for listening today. I am Lisa A. Romano. My books are called The Road Back to Me, My Road Beyond the Codependent Divorce, and a book that I think that you should really consider getting is Loving the Self, Affirmations, Breaking the Unconscious Codependent Belief Systems That Are Wreaking Havoc on Your Life, because I believe it will help you make the unconscious conscious. Have a wonderful day, and you can also reach me at my website, healingselfesteem.com, and through my email at lisaaromano.com and lisaaromano@aol.com. Have a wonderful day, and I look forward to hearing from you very soon. Namaste.